A judge rules cockpit voice recordings admissible in civil suits. California flight schools get a reprieve. And disruptive new EU licensing rules are delayed. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, October 22nd, 2010. A U.S. federal judge has issued a ruling in the Continental 3407 case, which threatens the foundation of cockpit voice recordings. Justice William M. Scretney says the written transcript of the last few minutes of the flight is not complete and contains inaccuracies, so he'll allow the actual audio recordings to be played in court. The Buffalo News reports that Scretney listened to the recordings in private before making his ruling. This all became an issue because attorneys for the families of victims complained that the written transcript does not convey the pre-impact terror aboard the aircraft. Scretney wrote in his opinion, quote, "The Second Circuit Court has recognized the evidentiary importance of the audio recording from a cockpit voice recorder, which is often the only piece of neutral evidence in an air crash case," unquote. Frustrating as it may be at times, including those times when a recording would play in favor of cockpit crews, the deal with cockpit voice recordings is that they enjoy a degree of protection in exchange for the ability to eavesdrop. If this ruling stands and becomes precedent, watch for the development of all sorts of creative ways to sabotage the recordings. The need to fully convey the terror of the moments before 3407 went down in Buffalo last year suggests the goal is not finding the truth, but inflating the awards. Of the 39 lawsuits filed in the case, only 5 have been settled. Watch for pilots' unions to get involved in this turn of events, and don't think it doesn't impact GA. We're close to having some sort of CVR capability in even the smallest of aircraft. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has signed Senate Bill 856 into law. SB 856 is a budget trailer which contains language to delay implementation of Assembly Bill 48, which would have put flight schools under the purview of the Bureau of Private Postsecondary Education, essentially saddling flight schools with the same reporting and fee structures as universities. The National Air Transportation Association says the delay will allow it, in partnership with other associations and the industry in general, to educate California lawmakers on the diverse and unique nature of the flight training industry, and to show them more appropriate ways to protect the interests of students. AB 48 was passed by the legislature in 2009 with no input from the industry. The delay in compliance provided by SB 856 is retroactive to July of this year and extends until July of next year. A protectionist scheme by European regulators which threatened to disrupt reciprocal licensing with the U.S. has also been delayed. The vote on the draft rules for EASA's proposed flight crew licensing has been delayed until mid-December. The European Commission said it is not ready to support the current draft rules because there's a risk that the EU and the United States may not have a mutual recognition procedure for flight crew licensing rules in place before the new EASA rules were supposed to take effect in April of 2012. As proposed, the rules would disallow pilot licenses and aircraft tail numbers obtained in the U.S. or elsewhere from being used in the EU, and would have interfered with access by pilots flying in Europe to training and testing provided elsewhere under reciprocal agreements made through ICAO. The Commission has insisted on a delay to the end of this year to allow revision. Up next on ANN, NBAA wraps up an upbeat 2010. 5 legendary aviators are honored by the FAA, and a cross-border issues conference is scheduled. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 22nd. I'm Paul Plack. NBAA 2010 wrapped up in Atlanta yesterday, and while attendance numbers were not up dramatically, the atmosphere has been described as discernibly more optimistic than last year. Major companies such as Cessna and Hawker Beechcraft both of which have seen significant workforce layoffs to deal with the industry's economic collapse of the last 2 years, both had product announcements which demonstrate they're confident enough in the midterm to invest heavily in R&D. During the show, NBAA awarded $16,000 in scholarships for students seeking careers in business aviation. NBAA President Ed Bolin noted that coming off a year in which executives of automakers triggered a widespread bashing of business aviation in general, 2010 saw an education effort which resulted in a third of all states issuing proclamations in support of the industry and widespread recognition of the quality, high-paying jobs it supports in the U.S. NBAA 2011 is scheduled for Orlando, October 10th through the 12th. Let's hope quarterly reports by then are contributing to the sunshine. Yesterday morning, NBAA kicked off closing day by providing the FAA with a venue to honor five industry legends with the Wright Brothers Master Pilot Award. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt was on hand to personally present the awards to retired naval aviators and Apollo astronauts Neil Armstrong and Gene Cernan, the first and last men to walk on the moon, respectively. Golfing legend and businessman Arnold Palmer, whose pioneering use of business aviation to accomplish more in his career starting in 1956, set an example which helped build the industry. Russ Meyer, who led the Cessna Aircraft Company from 1974 through 2005 and who conceived the Cessna Citation Special Olympics airlift in 1986. And Clay Lacy, who's flown everything from DC-3s for United to jet fighters for the California Air Guard, and whose Clay Lacy Aviation, based at Van Nuys, became the first charter company on the West Coast. The award honors 50 years of safe flying. Babbitt called this year's five recipients, quote, exceptional people who have each left an indelible mark on aviation and the world, unquote. NBAA and its Canadian counterpart, CBAA, have announced their partnership on a new cross-border issues conference. The event will be held November 18th and 19th at the Hilton Montreal Bonaventure. More than $1.5 billion in goods moves across the border between the U.S. and Canada every day, and many business aircraft operators from both countries make frequent cross-border flights. Based on feedback from member companies, CBAA and NBAA have developed a conference to address the challenges faced by operators when crossing the border and flying in the airspace of the U.S. or Canada. Ed Bolin commented, quote, NBAA and its members value the continued efforts of the Canadian government on programs that allow for expedited border clearance by low-risk, pre-screened travelers, unquote. CBAA President and CEO Sam Baroni added, quote, the Cross-Border Issues Conference will be a highly interactive seminar that brings together government officials to assist operators in developing best practices for a variety of issues, from customs clearance to obtaining economic authority for commercial flights, unquote. The conference is intended for flight department personnel, including managers, pilots, schedulers, and dispatchers, aircraft owners and operators, attorneys, advisors, and any others who have an interest in cross-border issues are also encouraged to attend. Get more details, including an agenda and, of course, sponsorship opportunities, under the Events tab at nbaa.org. Still ahead, international standards come to space docking ports. Sikorsky says the X-2 will spawn military demos. And Cessna announces its plan for a Skyhawk without pistons. You're listening to Aeronews.
Now, another moment of freedom from Sirius Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, October 22nd. I'm Paul Plack. The International Space Station MCB, Multilateral Coordination Board, has approved a docking system standard to promote a common interface to link future spacecraft ranging from crewed to autonomous vehicles and from low Earth orbit to deep space exploration. NASA's Bill Gerstenmaier, MCB chairman, explains, quote, this standard will ease the development process for emerging international cooperative space missions and enable the possibility of international crew rescue missions, unquote. This effort will ensure interface commonality without dictating any particular design behind the standard interface. The board released the document to allow non-partner agencies and commercial developers to review the standard and provide feedback. Sikorsky Innovations, which recently set an unofficial world speed record for helicopters with its coaxial X2 technology demonstrator, says it will build two prototypes based on the X2 in order to demonstrate the advantages of those technologies to the U.S. Armed Forces. Sikorsky President Jeff Pino explained, quote, "Self-funding the design of a brand new light tactical helicopter, the Sikorsky S-97, and manufacturing two prototypes we have designated as the Raider X-2 helicopter will help military aviation evaluate the viability of a fast and maneuverable next-generation rotorcraft for a variety of combat missions," unquote. Find more details in the text version of this story, dated October 21st, at aero-news.net. And apologies to Jeff Pino. I mistakenly referred to him yesterday as Sikorsky's CEO. Sikorsky's Firefly electric proof-of-concept helicopter created quite a buzz at Oshkosh this year. By sometime next year, Cessna hopes to be showing an example of the world's all-time best-selling aircraft, the 172 Skyhawk, which also flies using an electric motor. Cessna's working with Bai Energy to make that project happen. George Bai, the CEO of Bai Energy, said development is well underway. Quote, "This is an ambitious effort, but we're continuing to uncover additional efficiencies with electric-powered flight. We're grateful to Cessna for its continued collaboration and support," unquote. And if you're dismissive of the prospects for electric power in anything draggier than supermodel skinny motor gliders, you should know that the most successful and longest-running road-going electric vehicles of the 20th century were milk trucks, some of which remained in use well into the 1950s. And for all you kids with blank stares right now, milk trucks used to bring fresh milk in glass bottles from the dairy right to your house back in the day. That's why Grandma's house has that funny little box in the wall with doors on both the inside and the outside. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, hear Jim Campbell's look back at NBAA 2010 with President Ed Bolin. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.